You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers Tuesday edition. We're bumping Nick up just like we did last week. It's a Winky Tuesday episode with my guest today, Nick Winkler. We'll be getting into what's going on with the 49ers, your questions, and we're breaking down the quarterbacks today. We're doing a little self-scouting of the San Francisco 49ers, looking back at the season. How did the players perform position by position, and what to look forward to? What is the best plan of attack for that position group to improve or stay the same in some cases in 2021? And now, let's bring on today's guest.
Nicholas Winkler, come on down.
Nick, what's happening, my man? There's some interesting rumors happening around the 49ers or around the NFL, and I think 49ers fans are taking those rumors and running with them when it comes to the quarterback position. So I think this is an interesting conversation today when it comes to 49ers quarterbacks. Obviously, it's a huge topic every episode, every week, just about with the Niners until we figure out who the quarterbacks will be this year. So why not? Let's get into it. Let's first look at how good they played and what could improve about that position group. It's the most important position group on the team, right?
Oh, no doubt about it. It's funny, last week I read that message from Tino and I was like, he wants to trade all these people for Deshaun Watson. You're like, no, they'll never get rid of Deshaun Watson. Like the next day, it's like,
I know.
Deshaun Watson, very unhappy.
I couldn't remember the name. I'm glad you remember Tino. Shout out to Tino. He was sensing a disturbance in the force, I think, when it comes to Deshaun Watson. I still think it's a 0% chance that it actually happens, but we'll see. And actually, on that subject, where was the tweet? I think I had a tweet. Oh, yeah. Ian Rappaport saying that the Texans now have officially requested an interview with Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy, sources say. Already a busy
maybe
candidate.
Too little, too late.
Yeah,
there?
And that's the thing. And that was one of his guys, and now he's on the list. It's the only team that has a head coach opening that has not requested to or has not already interviewed Robert Saleh, by the way. The Eagles now have an open head coaching job after surprisingly firing Doug Peterson, and already Saleh is on their list as well. So six of the seven openings, Robert Saleh either already has or will have an interview with, and he's already on round two of his interviews. Looks like he's one of the top candidates for the Jets job now, getting a second interview. And then there was a report that he did not have a good interview with his hometown Detroit Lions, which was one of the favored jobs for him. So interesting offseason already since we talked last week, Nick.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I just can't believe that all seven wouldn't have him on their list, at least, to have like some sort of preliminary interview with what he's done there in San Francisco. I mean, that's his resume right there. You don't need to get in there and talk about this, that, or the other thing. I just more like, look what I've done. Look at this. You see me? I'm a leader of men. This is what you want, right? You're not asking me to call the offense because I'm not going to do that. We'll bring in somebody that can do it. And it's funny you mentioned him as one of the front runners of the Jets, too. I saw a funny tweet last night. I don't remember who it was from, but they were talking about Smith from Alabama. And they're like, he better calm down or he's going to be on the Jets next year.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's like, okay, play well, but not too well, right? Then you'll be catching passes from Darnold. Might be more of the same there in New York. But that's obviously a team that could have some interest in Deshaun Watson if he's actually on the trade market. We didn't really talk about it that much last week, even though there was that question, because it was like, we just squashed it. It was like, nah, dude, no way. No way the Texans are going to trade Deshaun Watson. I still feel that way. Maybe there is a path for him forcing his way out. Essentially, the path to the 49ers would be, okay, first of all, Texans are willing to listen to offers. It's gone south too far with Watson, and they don't believe he will participate and will actually sit out games. And most likely, that would still have to play out all the way into September. But let's say they figure that out before draft day, and that's the way the Texans want to go. And the Texans would have to not want to send him to an AFC team who owned the top three picks in the draft that would be really hard to beat for the 49ers when putting together a package. And the 49ers would have to be a team that Watson would trade or would not utilize his no trade clause to be traded to. And he would want to use it for some other teams in front of the 49ers in the draft that might be able to put together a better package, like, say, the Lions or the Panthers that are in the NFC. And maybe Jimmy Garoppolo would have to be valued very highly by the new staff, GM, already from that New England Patriots staff, and maybe they might end up with Josh McDaniels. They would have to love Jimmy Garoppolo, and then he would also want to waive his no-trade clause to go to an empty Houston Texans roster. So, I mean, there's so many things that would have to happen just perfectly to line up for the 49ers. Oh, and give up a whole bunch of stuff on top of it to land Deshaun Watson. So what are your thoughts, knowing all that, knowing that what we know now a week later about the Deshaun Watson situation? What do you think? Is it even worth it to upgrade from Jimmy Garoppolo to Deshaun Watson, and how much of an upgrade would that be for you?
I feel like Lloyd Christmas from Dumb and Dumber. So you're telling me there's a chance?
Exactly.
It's like, yeah, that's cool. That's great. I'd love to have Deshaun Watson. And, you know, yeah, I'd feel much more comfortable giving up a couple of first-round draft picks for Deshaun Watson, a proven commodity, as opposed to moving up in a draft and taking a young, unproven college quarterback. That's just me. I know there's a lot of people out there that are like, no, I want the young, you know, the young stud who, you know, with the huge upside. It's like, well, that's Deshaun Watson. He's already proven it in the NFL. Why would you not want to go after that guy? Even if he's a little bit more expensive, because, God, draft picks are such busts, you know?
Right, and you're talking about a trade package for the 49ers to move up from 12 up to pick 2 or 3 if they wanted to go up and get their choice of quarterbacks after Trevor Lawrence assumed goes to number 1 overall to the Jaguars. It would be the same. It would be a similar package to what it would cost to trade for a known commodity in Deshaun Watson. So it's a no-brainer there. But that's what the other teams that are up there at the top of the draft would, I'm sure, think about as well. And the Jets have enough cap space to do that. Deshaun Watson might squash that, but the Dolphins is the real one because they could trade Tua, who would be a cheap quarterback, who's probably still well thought of around the league and would have some value, probably more value than Jimmy G, just because he might be the left-handed version of Jimmy G, but cheaper and younger, right? And then they're drafting third, which I just talked about. The cost from going from the 49ers' best asset, which is the 12th overall pick, up to three, is already worth two of those 49ers picks. So they're already an extra first rounder ahead of where the 49ers would be if Deshaun Watson would want to go to the Dolphins, and the Texans were willing to trade him to the AFC. So the Dolphins would, I think, have a really, 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 really massive head start if this Deshaun Watson thing were to play out and he would become available, as long as the Texans were willing to trade him into the AFC. And it's not their division. Like, I could see not wanting to go to the Jaguars in their division, but in the AFC, I don't think it's a huge deal if they have a much better offer.
Yeah, for me, you got to hope that, like, Deshaun Watson's on Twitter and maybe he follows Nick Bosa, you know, and he sees him out there, like, throwing that big old ball around with his shirt off, and he's like, wait, yeah, I want that guy on my team.
And then,
like, oh yeah, Niners are going to get Bosa back next year. Yeah, that's where I want to go.
And then the Texans are like, oh yeah, but sorry, we asked for Bosa in the trade.
So. Yeah. And of course the 49ers hung up on us.
So anyway, I don't know. I don't expect it to play out that way, but it's super interesting. And then the latest, so hold on, how about this one? Andre Johnson, former All-Pro wide receiver, says, if I'm Deshaun Watson, this is on Twitter, I will stand my ground. The Texans organization is known for wasting players' careers since Jack Easterby, who was sort of like the president in place of all this and hiring the GM and part of kicking out Bill O'Brien. I don't really know what, everyone hates Jack Easterby pretty much. Fans and it sounds like players alike. He goes on to say, since Jack Easterby has walked into the building, nothing good has happened in or for the organization, and for some reason, someone can't seem to see what's going on. Pathetic. Then, former Texans wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins quote tweets Andre Johnson's comments there and says, when Dre speak, listen. So, a lot of players, a lot of high-end players feel probably a lot the same. And you know those players are saying even worse in private than they're saying in public. And Deshaun Watson's probably part of a lot of those conversations.
Yeah, I'm with that. When Dre speaks, you know, it's like if it's Dr. Dre, if it's, you know, Andre Johnson, if it's my wife Dre, like I'm listening when Dre speaks.
Especially
right?
The third one, yeah.
That's how I live my life.
When Dre speak, listen. There's probably t-shirts already being printed up with that on it.
I'll buy it. Yeah, send me a link.
Oh, man. Anyway, so how about a couple of other quarterback options really quick? Did you watch the national championship game last night?
Of course, a little bit of it. Yeah, tuned in, tuned out, you know.
What'd you see?
You know me, I'm not a big college guy, but.
Yeah. I watch college football strictly because I want to see what future pro football players there are. Like, I have no rooting interest for any college football team. My college didn't even have a football team by the time I got there. So I just really don't care. And Saturdays is like my one day where I'm not doing any of this other work. And that's sort of the family day. That's sort of the do whatever else I can that's not watching ball all day long. And so less screen time on those days. So I'm going back and watching, you know, a lot, these college prospects a lot different. But I did sit down and watch that whole game, and it was a powerhouse performance from Alabama. Devontae Smith is just unreal, and I remember watching him a lot, and I would get confused between Devontae Smith and Jerry Jeudy when I was watching Alabama prospects and wide receivers, and I'd be like, oh, dang, Jeudy, look at that. And I was like, oh, no, wait, that's Devontae Smith. And I'd be like, oh, okay, wait, is that Jeudy or is that Smith? And they're both really good, and I think watching them last year, I would have probably had Devontae Smith just a smidge ahead of Jeudy. And Jeudy was already just a smidge ahead of CeeDee Lamb as the top wide receiver in the draft for me. So I already thought Devontae Smith was probably better than any wide receiver in the draft last year, just from what I saw him in 2019. And he's even better this year. So, I mean, that dude's a stud. And he might fall a little bit because he's skinny. And it might be interesting if he did fall all the way to the 49ers at 12. I don't think wide receiver will be the number one need there. But you never know if he's the best player available. He's a name that I think should excite 49ers fans, but he should be long gone by 12, but who knows? I thought Jeudy and Lamb were going to be long gone by the time the 49ers were on the clock last year too.
Yeah, that's the fun thing about draft day is you got all these guys like, oh, there's no way they'll be there come 49ers pick, and then Niners are there, and then they don't pick him. It's like, oh, God.
Exactly. Dude, the draft is the most insane thing ever. Like, because people get so mad about mock drafts. It's like, dude, the craziest mock draft you see will be much less crazy than the actual draft that actually happens. You just have to always remember that going into it. All right, hold on.
No one's going to mock the actual draft. Like, it's just not going to happen.
Right. So, and then fans will talk themselves into whatever happens. They're like, oh, it was the best thing that ever happened. And then 3 years later, they're like, fire everybody. It's amazing. It's amazing what happens when it comes to the
draft.
Sounds
like us with McGlinchey a few years ago.
Right, which is what makes it so fun. Which is why I keep track too, and I can go back and I can be like, okay, I had McGlinchey as a late first, early second rounder, and maybe I was pretty close on that. And I was a little surprised.
I love your shadow drafts, man.
Yeah, I was surprised he went top 10 because he was a player that was probably gonna have to move from left tackle to right tackle because his weakness was pass blocking, and we're still seeing that play out, even though he's one of the better run blocking tackles in the league. So an oddball player there, and we'll see what happens with his fifth year option, which I'm sure the 49ers will pick up. And I think he'll be with the Niners for a little while. But I want to talk a little bit more about quarterbacks and the quarterbacks from the college game, and then talk about the 49ers quarterbacks in 2020. And I was giving out some grades. Yesterday was the coaches, so we'll just keep moving through the roster. We'll get quarterbacks out of the way today with Nick Winkler. We'll grade what we saw last year and try to figure out a good path, a good plan of attack for that position in 2021. A lot of people probably made a lot of money on Alabama at betonline.ag. And you can too, whether it's divisional playoff rounds, Super Bowl, futures bets, NFL draft, the NBA season is in full swing. You can find all of it. Get in on the action at BetOnline. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. By the way, the lines are already out for next year's NCAA football championship game in 2022. Not surprisingly, Alabama is the favorite. Clemson, number two, 4-1 odds with Georgia, Ohio State, the usual suspects there in college football. Can there be a Cinderella? I'm seeing Iowa State up there. Maybe Cincinnati at 66-1. Will Desmond Ritter go back to school? Kind of like that one. Cincinnati. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use promo code Locked On to receive 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Nick, we talked about the national championship game, Alabama OSU, and there's two quarterback prospects. One might be long gone before the 49ers pick Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields, but he was outplayed by the guy who might be there for the 49ers at 12 or maybe even in the second round in Mac Jones. What were your thoughts? Did you see any of them previously before these games? Did you put your scouting hat on during the season at all watching these guys or last night?
Yeah, I watched them both a little bit this year. And I just don't think you can go wrong with either guy. Like I'm, you know me, I'm not a big guy about drafting a quarterback so high because you can miss. You know, you see them in college, and it's like, yeah, maybe it's just their system that they're in. Maybe they don't have the arm strength. Maybe they do. Looks like both these guys have the arm strength. Looks like they both have the wits. I don't think you can go wrong. I think, like you said, I think Fields is going to be long gone because unless the 49ers decide to trade up. But Mac Jones, that's not a bad idea there, right?
I mean, Mac Jones looked so Shanahan-y, right? Does he not
that's
look
a
like
good
the
word.
Pro?
I like that, Shanahan.
Like Shanahan's watching Mac Jones going, yep, like that. Yep,
right.
I like that. And, you know, Kirk Cousins is a perfect comp for him because Kirk Cousins isn't the most physically imposing figure out there, but he maneuvers the pocket pretty well and has okay feet, even though he's not fast. There's a difference between feet and legs when it comes to quarterback, right?
Sure.
It would be nice to have a quarterback that knew how to feel pressure and step up in the pocket a little bit. That would have gone a long way to making the offensive line look a lot better in 2020. Doesn't have a cannon arm, but kind of throws a pretty deep ball and can miss because he doesn't have a powerhouse arm, but can get the ball down the field as well. He's obviously runs the offense super efficiently. We talked about how good his wide receivers are. I think maybe Tua not jumping out to the quickest start in his NFL career might make people pause a little bit with Mac Jones and think, okay, is this AJ McCarron? Is this Matt Leinart? Or is this, is this Andy Dalton? Is this, right. Essentially, is he a game manager? I almost feel like with both of
how
those.
How can you call him a game manager? I mean, dude threw for 4,500 yards and 41 touchdowns.
Yeah,
you
but
know?
Like, what's the difference between Kirk Cousins and Tom Brady?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, that's,
it's like,
yeah.
It's massive, but Tom Brady's the ultimate game manager, really.
Right.
So it's not a knock, as much of a knock as it sounds, but when you have so much talent on your team too, it's hard to separate that as well. And so, and we're seeing so many quarterbacks around the NFL that develop so quickly now, and just some of the skills that they have, like the height, weight, speed, the guys that can really run and really chuck it and make you defend all levels of the field. I mean, that's enticing for me. And then you're thinking, okay, well, did you just get a young version of Jimmy Garoppolo? Is that worth an early draft pick? So I kind of go in circles when I think about these guys, but Mac Jones really did put on a really good performance aside from that one bad fumble he had in that game. I think 475 yards passing and a lot
five
of
five touchdowns.
Yeah. And half of that to Devontae Smith. So part of that was him getting open as well. So, but I think I feel similarly about those two quarterbacks. And we won't talk about the other rookie quarterbacks too much today. I just wanted to focus on them just because the national championship is fresh in my mind. I feel similarly about them where I don't know that I'm jumping at the opportunity to trade up for Justin Fields in the first round. But if he falls to the Niners at 12, you almost have to take him, right? And then I feel the same about Mac Jones just a round later. Like, I don't think I would take him with the 49ers first round pick. But if they don't go quarterback in round one and he's still there in round two, it's almost like you have to take him. So I kind of feel the same about both those guys just one round apart. And in those scenarios, as long as you're not trading up, I think I would be okay with that. Although I would feel like the 49ers are sitting on the fence a little bit if they waited around to see who were the leftovers in the second round of the drafted quarterback.
Right. Yeah, you know, you mentioned the Kirk Cousins versus Tom Brady thing, and it's just like you don't know on these guys coming out of college if they're going to be able to read the field, read a defense when it's NFL speed. You know, this is the closest thing to it, what these guys did last night. You know, you're in the national championship. You're playing with the powerhouse teams in college football. You're going to see the best of the best in college. But in NFL, every team has the best player from each college team. So it's so much faster and it's so different. And that's the thing about Tom Brady. I mean, you watch him, you know, play in a playoff game wild card weekend. You know, dude's 43 years old and he's so angry and so intense, and like a receiver runs the wrong route and he's yelling at him at the top of his lungs. Like that competitiveness and that drive, maybe that's what sets him apart from everybody else. You know, it's his, that chip on his shoulder that he still has here, you know, going into whatever 20th season, whatever dude's playing in right now, like ridiculous that he still does that. But that's what people need to succeed. They need that drive. They need that motivation. Do these guys have it? I mean, they're playing on the top level of college football. They probably do. You know, then can they transition it? And another big thing, too, which has been huge, which I've said all along, which you can never really decide if a guy's a failed draft pick with his first stop because maybe it was just the wrong fit. You know, maybe they thought, we can fit this guy into our system. He didn't run it in college. We think he can do it. And he can't. You know, and maybe he finds his path a little bit down the road, and you know, he's a serviceable guy, but if he had gotten in that system when he was maybe he'd be a star. You know, maybe he'd be the best quarterback that ever lived. So a lot of it is luck, too. You know, it's about, can this guy develop into the guy I want him to be? Maybe. I mean, it is a first-round pick, you know, a guy that you take in the first round at 12, if he works out, you know, it's like what the Giants did with Daniel Jones. You know, when they first picked him, like, wow, that was a stretch. You know, and at first it looked like, yeah, okay, I see why they did it. And then it's like, oh, damn. Okay, the guy came back to earth. All right, maybe they did reach a little bit there. But I don't know. Draft picks are such a crapshoot for me. Like, I like your idea of Mac Jones. Like, if both guys fall to him in the right spot, of course I'd be okay with the 49ers going that route. But me, again, personally, you know, there's a lot of good talent out there, too, free agent-wise, I think the 49ers should take a look at.
Oh, man. Yeah, there's so many different options out there at quarterback this offseason, so we'll continue to explore those. But what I want to do now is grade the actual quarterbacks that were on the roster in 2020 for the 49ers, and then we can sort of decide what the best plan of attack is to improve or maybe not even need to improve the quarterback position. That's coming up next on Winky Tuesday here on Locked On 49ers. Have you visited rockauto.com yet? If you haven't, you need to, because it's the best place to go to keep your car running at an optimal level. If you need accessories for your vehicle, if you need anything at all involving your vehicle, it is such an amazing selection at rockauto.com, and their prices are always reliably low. Why go to other retailers when they have such a limited stock and you don't know what they're even ordering on the other side of a computer screen? You can go find exactly what you need for your make and model, a ridiculous selection at rockauto.com, and keep your vehicle on the road. Or maybe even add some fun aftermarket parts, right? RockAuto.com is a family-owned business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com with a unique catalog, remarkably easy to navigate, quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle, and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit RockAuto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. All right. Awful year, obviously, for Jimmy Garoppolo because of the injury. He was healthy for one game this year, really, one full game. And then he got hurt and maybe came back too soon. Didn't play great for that one game, but then there was a funky COVID offseason and a pandemic. So it's hard to evaluate Jimmy Garoppolo. He's the most difficult to evaluate here when it comes to the 49ers quarterback. But when you look at the numbers and you've got to grade what he did on the field, and it wasn't great. 7 touchdowns to 5 interceptions, which was a problem with the 49ers turning the ball over. He did complete 67% of his passes, which is fine. He only attempted 140 passes over the course of his 6 games, left 2 of those early, right? 2, or did he leave 3 of those games early? I don't know.
I think 3 of them.
And then, you know, so 1,000 yards passing. His Pro Football Focus grade wasn't great, 67.5. It was pretty much the same as C.J. Beathard's, was 69.2. The one thing Beathard didn't do is throw a bunch of interceptions, but he did put the ball on the ground fumbling, and his grade was about the same. He did have 6 touchdowns and 0 interceptions. Beathard threw 104 passes in 6 games that he played, and then Nick Mullins played 10 games, which already you're just looking at 10 games played, right? There's 16 games in NFL season. When one quarterback plays 10 games, another plays 6, and then another one plays 6, you're like, wait, there's 6 extra games there. What the hell's going on? So that's a big indicator on what happened. Mullins obviously played the most. He did complete more of his passes than C.J. Beathard. C.J. Beathard was 63.5, little better. Nick Mullins, 64.7%, 2,437 yards. They all had almost exactly yards per attempt average. But the big one for Mullins was 12 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. So, obviously, they all played poorly. I almost want to just say they all get Fs, but I'm going to go to you first, Nick. If you had to separate these, what would you give letter grade-wise to the 3 quarterbacks? Or would you give Jimmy Garoppolo the Brian Peacock college grade of incomplete? Because on the day of the final, I show up to class and the professor's like, who are you? And I'm like, oh, yeah, and make up some story. And they're like, okay, we'll take the final. Then I get a good grade on the final and pass the class.
Right, right. Well, maybe the W. I had a couple W's on my college transcript.
Oh, you're a withdrawal
guy. Dropped the class, but too late.
You're like, I'm going to stop going, but I didn't take the proper, right. You're like, yeah, high ankle sprain. Sorry, teacher.
He's got a withdrawal in the middle of the season. I mean, it's hard to give any of these guys a good grade, obviously. You know, you mentioned the Fs, but I wouldn't go that bad. I mean, you know, what Mullins did was very serviceable, right? I mean, he wasn't great. There were times he was bad. There were times he was good. But most of the times that Mullins was in there, he was playing without Kittle. He played most of that without Samuel. You know, like, there was a lot of games where, and, you know, he didn't have Mostert in the backfield. You know, one game he didn't even have his left tackle, and that was the worst game ever. You know, like, there's a lot of games where Nick Mullins was out there with a subpar cast around him, too. And that, so you have to weigh that into effect, whereas Jimmy G started the season with all his weapons. You know, and yeah, they started going down one by one starting week 2, but, you know, he definitely had a lot more around him for a lot more of the season. So if you're going to start doing grades, and with Beathard, too, he had, you know, a couple good games towards the end of the year. But when he came in earlier, he looked lost out there. So if you're going to grade guys, I mean, you can't go above a C, you know, and that would be the highest ranking. Even that's probably C-. I think I'd give Nick Mullins a C-. I'd give Beathard a D, maybe a D plus. And then, I got to do the incomplete or the withdrawal with Jimmy G, because you can't give the guy an F. He didn't fail. You know, he kept trying to go back out there, but his body just wouldn't let him do it.
So you're a lot kinder with your grades than I'm going to be, Nick, because luckily I had a lot of professors like you, Nick, that helped me out, and it probably reflected poorly on them.
These kids are trying, Peacock.
If they were handing out Fs left and right. But, I mean, Beathard, I like your D-plus for Beathard, actually. I think a D-plus for Beathard because he didn't throw the interceptions. But when he was in there, they didn't move the ball very well.
No.
He's just slow processing. The ball doesn't come out on time, and it just doesn't look right when C.J. Beathard's in the game. But he didn't throw a bunch of interceptions, which is good, and he did throw a couple of touchdown passes. Jimmy Garoppolo played bad when he was in there for what we saw versus last year, and I was expecting a lot more from Jimmy G. And the biggest bummer with him is being hurt, and you know, in a lot of ways, it's like, okay, you know, whatever Brian Peacock made up for the reasons why he didn't go to class, you know, the professors bought it, and they probably shouldn't have. They were like, well, look, I don't, that sucks, but you weren't here, right? So how can I grade your work when you weren't here? Like, how can I pass you in this class? So I definitely can't pass Jimmy G, but I really think he probably deserves a D, and Mullins is probably in that same boat. So if C's did get degrees, then none of these guys got degrees for me. There was a lot of yardage with Nick Mullins. At least he had almost 100 more yards per game passing than C.J. Beathard did at 244 and a half there. And so, and remember, there's always those infographics of, oh, the most passing yards in NFL history for a quarterback's first 16 starts, and it was like Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, and Nick Mullins.
Patrick Mahomes, Nick Mullins.
Yeah. and so, like, there was some yardage at times, but...
Several! Nick Mullins!
There we go. And so there was some yardage at times, but again, like he just seemed like he was tossed in the deep end. It was over his head a lot and didn't play as well as he did in limited action in 2018. And obviously the interceptions were just awful, and the turnovers and the fumbles. It was like, at some point, what are you doing? So he played so bad that he had to get yanked out of a game for a guy that was a third string quarterback in the NFL that a lot of people, and me included, coming into the season, didn't even think should have been on the roster and wasn't worth carrying for a roster spot in C.J. Beathard. So that's how bad it was for the 49ers this year at quarterback. And I mean, maybe you bring one of those three guys back to me, but I think you got to do some big upgrading. You got to add a veteran. You got to add a couple of rookies. You got to have as much competition as you can. And the 49ers are picking at what, 46 overall in the second round or something like that, somewhere in the 40s, 48. They got to have a quarterback drafted by the time that pick is over.
Yeah, even if they go out and sign a young guy.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, what if they bring in an Andy Dalton or something?
So here's what happens. So you bring in Dalton, or you don't draft a quarterback until round four. And what if Garoppolo gets hurt again? You're right back in the same boat. It's like, cool, Andy Dalton's going to be the 49ers quarterback for 16 games next year. And then you got to go back into the draft again. And you got to try to get better. And you're looking at all the teams in the playoffs right now, and they all have first round quarterbacks, you know, except for Breeze and Brady. And Brady is the obvious outlier 20 years ago, and there still hasn't been somebody.
They come from a different time.
Right, yeah. And Breeze was actually the 32nd pick. There just wasn't 32 teams then, so he was the first pick in the second round because one of those teams, was it the Texans, didn't exist at that point. But you got to get better. And it could be a trade for a veteran, you know, Matt Stafford. I could see that if you think you want to go better than Jimmy Garoppolo. And
what about Mitchell Trubisky?
He's not better. You're not getting better. If he gets cut and he's like a free backup, that's cool. So you maybe upgraded your number two, but it's not a plan for being better now or in the future, except break in case of emergency because your quarterback got hurt again. I'm greedy when it comes to this right now. And I thought last year with the way that, you know, victim of the circumstances, I think, for the 49ers, because you can't get rid of a guy who just took you to the Super Bowl at quarterback. So they had to say no to Tom Brady. And I understood how that all went. But now the way you look at it, with Garoppolo missing half of his games, and sometimes he plays great, and sometimes it almost seems like Kyle Shanahan is protecting him at times with the way he calls plays. And you just see what some of these other teams are able to do around the NFL, and 49ers offense is, they make bigger plays on offense running the ball than they do throwing the ball, really. And I'm greedy, and I think
okay. So with your
more.
Greedy mind, with right, this greedy right. peacock mind, mm-hmm. draft ideal scenario possible that could happen. What do you want to happen come draft day for the 49ers, realistically speaking?
Well, look, if Watson becomes available and the 49ers can do something there, you almost mm-hmm. can't overpay for a superstar 25-year-old right. quarterback.
Agreed.
So I would be all in. I don't think he's going to be available. I think the Texans would literally just hang up every phone call from now until the season starts. And then if he doesn't show up and it's gotten really ugly, maybe they'll start rethinking things. And then who knows, maybe the 49ers could jump in then. But I just can't see anything happening there before the draft. But who knows? This could go really south and it could go wrong. And I would be like, okay, well, that's obviously the best guy they can get. And if you're going to make a package to trade up for a quarterback in the draft, why not send that package to Houston and get a guy you know is going to be great in Deshaun Watson, who's still 25 years old, and you would actually be saving some money in 2021 versus Jimmy Garoppolo. Aside from that, it would be one of those top four quarterbacks being there at 12 for the 49ers and not having to trade up and use a bunch of resources on it. And if they have to trade up a little bit, that would be okay. I don't know if I would say they should trade up to number two for Zach Wilson or but I think I would rank them right now. Lawrence, who's probably not going to be available. Watson's not going to be available. It's Zach Wilson. And I think I have pretty even Trey Lance. And this is early. This is early right now. I have a lot of work to do. So this isn't set in stone yet. But I think it's Zach Wilson 2 for me in the draft at quarterback. And it's sort of a tie at 3 and 4 between Justin Fields and Trey Lance. And I think if Trey Lance had played a full season this year and maybe played in a D1 situation instead of where he's at South Dakota State, he might be my clear number two, slam dunk number two pick. And then he wouldn't be available for the 49ers anyway.
Right.
But I think the most likely guy to fall would be Trey Lance just because he's had the 1 year. But I really like what I saw from him during that 1 year. He's good under pressure. He's actually taken snaps from under center. And I think Kyle Shanahan will see that and see what some of the big time throws he makes, his athleticism, his size. And you could really couple him with Jimmy Garoppolo if the 49ers kept Jimmy G. You could play Trey Lance while Jimmy G is still there. If Jimmy G gets hurt, then you can, you know, fully employ this young stud quarterback. But you could bring him along slowly while actually getting him on the field in a, you know, like they did with Jalen Hurts or like they did with Hill in New Orleans.
Sure.
Get him on the field, maybe fast track, because you don't want to just sit him for 3 years because the thing he's missing is playing time, you know, and he's a really young
right.
guy. By the way, he's going to be the first player in the NFL, I think, that's born in the 2000s. He's born in the year 2000, Nick. How does that make
that's
you feel?
That's crazy. No. Don't make me feel old.
Yeah, that is not cool. I do not like that at all. But he's really young, and he played. He's a redshirt sophomore, and he only got to play because of the pandemic one game this year.
Wow.
And he's had one game of starting experience before that, and it was spectacular. He was so good. And we've seen NFL quarterbacks come out of there now, although the shine is worn off of Carson Wentz a little bit, who came out of that same college. They're a powerhouse program there. But the way he operates the offense, they put a lot on him. He worked under center and in the shotgun, made some great throws. Obviously, a lot of these guys, you have to do some projections there. But I wish he would have played more.
Yeah.
But that's maybe the reason why he'll be there for the 49ers. And I think he has all the upside in the world. And I think he would be the perfect guy to go along with Jimmy Garoppolo. And that's a lot of resources at quarterback, but that's okay. Be greedy. Get quarterback right. Develop yourself a superstar.
Well, you mentioned it. Wentz, I know, you know, if they cut him, it's going to be a huge hit against the cap, or if they trade him. But, you know, let's say he is available. You taking a shot on Wentz?
Wentz is difficult because of the cost.
Yeah.
It would have to be.
He's going to hurt your cap big time.
So and I think Philly, by firing Doug Peterson, I think that's them saying that they're going to roll with Wentz, and they think that it was the coaching and that a different coach can fix him or get him back to where he was, because that was, I mean, he was the 25-year-old superstar that we're talking about Watson was.
No doubt.
He was on that
You're
trajectory
right.
not that long ago. So even when you think you know, sometimes you don't know in the NFL. But it would have to be so cheap in trade that the 49ers are actually gaining when it comes to draft picks by moving Jimmy Garoppolo in trade and trading even less to get Carson Wentz. And it would just be different. You're kind of rolling the dice a little bit, but I wouldn't be completely against that idea. And then maybe it would make sense to draft a second round quarterback still. But I think the only clear veteran upgrade that actually could be available, and who knows, maybe he won't be available either, is Matthew Stafford. And then, again, I'm greedy. I'm going to say no to my first-round pick, maybe trade a second-round pick, and then you got your first-round pick that you can trade down, collect some more picks, maybe draft a cornerback, and then you're off to the races and really trying to run it back and win now. That would be the most win-now move, would be trading for Matthew Stafford. And I think he would be an upgrade. I think he's a better quarterback than Jimmy Garoppolo. But it's just hard for me. I think the best that you could – the best scenario for the 49ers is if they don't have to trade up and use extra resources and they – draft a quarterback at 12, and they hit on that super high upside quarterback, then he's cheap and great and amazing. That's the best possible scenario for the 49ers, even better than landing a good veteran quarterback that's better than Jimmy G now.
I love that I get to pick your brain like this. It's like, okay, now Peacock, tell me this.
Can you tell how...
Riddle me this.
I've slept maybe a combined 4 hours the last two nights. I am insanely caffeinated right now, so I don't know if that comes through, but yeah.
Yeah. You got all that. You're connecting all these dots, man. I love it. You're like Charlie from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I got the pegboard behind me. My arms are going crazy right now, even though you can't see what I'm doing. Yeah.
Oh, good stuff, buddy.
Good stuff, yeah. So Nick gave out some... I'm going straight D's with the quarterback room, man. Yeah. I hate it.
I went CD incomplete.
Get better at quarterback, 49ers. I mean, that's like... And even if you overspend, like the... The Arizona Cardinals right now aren't upset that they spent a top 10 pick and then a number one overall pick.
You're right.
They found their quarterback, and that's okay. Yeah. And that's why every time you see a big trade that happens in the NFL, even if it's for a safety or a wide receiver or whoever, it's always like, okay, two first rounders, because you're going to miss on one of those guys anyway. And so that's what happens at quarterback too. So if you're not trying to get better at quarterback, except for once every 10 years, you're going to be in no man's land quite often. And
you talk about what the Rams did, too. You were watching their playoff game the other day, and they're like, yeah, they haven't had a first-round pick since taking Goff.
Right.
They traded them all away.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And the next time they have a first-round pick, they might have to spend it on a quarterback. Who knows?
Right. But he led them to a Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Yeah, and back to the playoffs again. They won a game.
They scored three points with him at quarterback in that Super Bowl, but... Took him to a Super Bowl. Okay, this is from Mike Renner at PFF. This was before the playoffs started. This is the draft pick number of every starting quarterback in the NFL playoffs this year. So just to put that into perspective. Okay. Three of them were drafted number one overall. One of them was drafted number two overall. One of them was drafted number four overall. One was drafted 7 overall, 8 overall, 10 overall, 11 overall, then 24, then 32, then another 32. One of those was a first-round pick in Lamar Jackson. The other was a second-round pick in Drew Brees at 32 overall. Then Russell Wilson at 75 and Tom Brady at 199.
Crazy. You're right. Spend the capital. Go get it. Go get the guy you think. But that's just it. Don't force it.
Although there's bad teams that drafted their quarterbacks number one overall too, right? There's a lot of teams in the NFL that have first-round starting quarterbacks that weren't in the playoffs too. But that's just what it takes, and that's how important that position is. And if you get it right, and it takes a few first rounders, it's okay as long as you do get it right.
I'm on board.
All right. Good stuff, Nick. That was fun. Hopefully the grades when we're doing this next January, or hopefully February when we're doing this, the grades are a lot higher for the 49ers quarterbacks, whoever they may be.
Hopefully it's just quarterback.
Back, yeah. One guy played every snap. That would be much better. Absolutely.
And it's an A, and they're in the playoffs right now. We're talking about it.
Absolutely. Okay, good stuff. Thanks, Nick, as always.
Thanks, you, buddy. Get some rest, huh?
Did we not get, did we do, we didn't do a single mailbag question, did we?
Shocking.
Gosh dang.
That we just started rambling.
All right. I'll hit some more tomorrow. That's okay. That's my new thing this offseason. I'm trying to get to some every day. We didn't get any today. So I'm only batting, 500 so far on my everyday mailbag. But there will be for sure one segment. Maybe I'll make up for it and do two segments on tomorrow's show. And get to some of your questions, because there are a lot of good questions out there. And if any popped up and any arise from our podcast today, hit me up at BD Peacock. I'll be back tomorrow right here, Locked On 49ers.